Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We're now 25 days away from the opening ceremony of the Tokyo Olympics in Japan. One of the marquee athletic events in Tokyo will be the men's 100 meters dash, which has been contested at every Olympics since the 1896 games in Athens. And keeping with Olympic history, this will be the first time in 17 years that we'll have an Olympic 100 meters champion other than Jamaican great Usain Bolt, who is now retired.
I'm Lightning Bolt. I'm not Flash Gordon anybody. My name is Lightning Bolt.
The Lightning Bolt won three consecutive Olympic 100 meters gold medals at Beijing 2008, at London 2012, and at Rio 2016. Enoch Adegoke will represent Nigeria in the 100 meters when he makes his Olympic debut in Tokyo next month. The 21-year-old Adegoke recently won the men's 100 meters in a personal best time of 10 seconds even at Nigeria's Olympic trials in Lagos. Iron Mike Mbonye asked the Nigerian sprinter about his Olympic preparations.
With less than a month to the commencement of Tokyo Games, my preparation has been awesome. Right from, after winning the national championship and qualifying for the Olympic Games as well, my focus has shifted away from trying to qualify now. I'm now more focused on my performance in Tokyo. I'm more focused and I'm not really distracted about wanting to qualify again. I'm not really anxious or bothered about it again. And knowing fully well that Olympic Games is a bigger stage, at the highest stage in sporting, in the sports world. So I'm more focused on getting better and improving on my times.
You won the 100 meters race at the Nigeria Open Athletics Championship that took place in Lagos. Are you scared of the big names you will meet in Tokyo in the 100 meters event?
Well, I'll be scared of big games at the Yaba Tech, where we held our national championship. God really helped me. I was able to, get myself controlled so I don't fall for the anxiety, the fear of competing with others. Of course, I was a bit scared. I was a bit anxious. But then, God really helped me. I was able to control myself, and that really helped a lot to some extent.
Are you optimistic of a podium performance at the Tokyo Games?
And concerning the Tokyo itself, I'm made up for. I'm optimistic of getting a podium placement. It might look a bit tasky. It might look impossible to many, but I know with my God, all things are possible. So anything is possible, And I really trust God all as well. His power is working.
That's Enoch Adegoke, Nigeria's new 100-meter sprint champion. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Enoch Adegoke, Nigeria's 100-meters sprint champion and the current African 100-meters junior champion. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Enoch, and good luck at the Tokyo Olympics. In African football, Yawa Fusu-Larbi caught up with a talented 20-year-old Ghanaian player who's currently based in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Kudus Mohamed shot into prominence when he moved to Ajax Amsterdam from FC Nordjylland last summer in a transfer that was well talked about in Ghana. Kudus grew up in Accra's slum community, Nima, where he played for the Strong Tower Football Club. He was roped into the exceptional scouting process at the Right to Dream Academy, where he spent most of his childhood until he moved to Denmark as a teenager. Mohamed has become one of the most sought-after young players in Europe. I asked how that makes him feel.
Obviously,
it's good to hear all of those stuff, but I put a lot of pressure on myself every single day to become a better player. So that's the most pressure I feel every single day. But it's an open sport, so there's a lot of opinions and people have their says, which I can't control. But most of the pressure I get is from inside, pushing myself to be better every single day.
Kudu's first season at the Dutch Giants was not exceptional. He was hit with an injury in his first Champions League game against Liverpool, an injury that messed up his head in many ways. But Kudu's says the setback spurred him on to become better and come back stronger in the season.
My first season, there was, you know what happened, and there's a lot of lessons through the football journey, and it was my first time in that kind of situation, and I'm out of it now, and I thank God for everything that happened, and I know I'm a better person now, and going forward, I've taken a lot of lessons from this, and it's very needed in my journey as a footballer as well.
In all of the ups and downs, you still won a medal.
Yeah, very important. As we play football, we play for medals and stuff like that. So it feels very good to get my first medal as a football player. And it encourages me to do more every single day. I'm strong religiously and I really believe in God. So everything that happened, I give thanks to him because I believe it could have been worse. So I give thanks to God in all situations. So, like I said, there was a lot of lessons in the recovery, rehab.
What kind of lessons?
That was my first serious injury in football. That was the first time I had to stay out of football for a long time. Normally, when you play week in, week out, you don't really get time for other aspects of your life. You just focus on football. But when I was out of the pitch, I really improved on my other aspects of my life as well. You learn a lot that it's not just about football. There's more to life than just football, you know.
Representing your country is an integral part of every footballer's dreams. For many footballers, being able to sing your country's anthem at the start of a major tournament means more than anything. And for Kudus, it is no different. He says it is an opportunity he doesn't take lightly.
We're preparing for the World Cup qualifier, so every game we play from today is very serious. So it all starts from today.
What does it mean for you, the Black Stars?
It's an honor for every player, you know. The whole of Ghana, the senior national team. So getting the opportunity to represent the country at the highest level is a privilege. So it's an opportunity I don't joke with.
Ghana may have produced many football talents, from Abedi Pele to Asamoah Gyan. But the new star, the man many are talking about to replace the greats, is Kudus Mohammed. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fusilabi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. In African club football, Kaizer Chiefs of South Africa will play reigning title holder Al Ahly of Egypt July 17th in the CAF Champions League final in Casablanca, Morocco. The teams won their semifinal series on Saturday in Johannesburg and Cairo, respectively. Douglas Mpuga reports.
South Africa's Kaizer Chiefs reached the African Champions League final for the first time in their history on Saturday. Kaizer Chiefs held Wydad Casablanca of Morocco to a goalless draw at home in the second leg of their semi-final. The result was enough to earn the Soweto side a place in the final of Africa's elite club competition, having won the first leg in Morocco 1-0. Kaizer Chiefs becomes the third South African side to reach the final after Mamelodi Sundowns, who did so in 2001 and 2016. And great rivals Orlando Pirates, who reached the finals in 1995 and 2013. Kaizer Chiefs have, however, had a disappointing domestic season, having finished eighth in the 16-team league, some 31 points behind champions Sundowns. Kaizer Chiefs will now meet Egyptian Premier League giants Al Ahly, who have reached the final of the competition for the second consecutive season. Al Ahly beat Tunisia's Esperance 3-0 late on Saturday. The Tunisians traveled to Cairo Al Salam Stadium, hoping to overturn their deficit against Ahly, but the hosts took a lead early through a penalty. This year's final will be a one-legged fixture set for July 17th at the Stade Mohamed V Stadium in Casablanca.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us now with a big package of football news. And Prince says he'll be kicking off with Monday's round of 16 matches at the European Championship. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. French footballer of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe's partnership with his teammate of Malian descent N'Golo Kanté, fellow countryman of Algerian descent Karim Benzema will be key as the reigning world champions take on Switzerland in their European Championship last 16 match today in Bucharest. France topped Group F with a win and two draws ahead of the defending champions Portugal and former world champions Germany. However, Les Bleus will be without French star of Malian descent Ousmane Dembélé and Marcus Thuram, who are both unavailable with injuries. Switzerland, on the other hand, have a full squad to choose from, but with a number of suspensions hanging over them in the event they book their place into the quarterfinals. A booking for Swiss footballer of Cameroonian descent Brill Embolo, Mario Gavranovic, Swiss defender of DR Congolese descent Kevin Mbabu, or Arsenal midfielder Granit Xhaka would see them miss the final eight. Croatia and Spain will also be going head-to-head in the earlier kickoff match in Copenhagen. Croatia will be without their veteran Inter Milan midfielder Ivan Perisic, who scored twice in their final group game against Scotland after he tested positive for COVID-19. Zenit St. Petersburg captain Dejan Lovren is also suspended for two yellow cards in the group stages. Spain will also be fully fit as they welcome back Sergio Busquets from a COVID-19 positive test result. Jordi Alba, Busquets, Pau Torres and Rodri are all in danger of suspension for any potential quarterfinal should they be booked in today's match. Croatia last faced Spain in any competition in September 2018, losing the fixture 6-0, a result that remains their heaviest ever defeat in international football. Czech Republic booked a place into the quarterfinals after beating the Netherlands 2-0 at the Puskas Arena in Budapest. The Dutch came into the game as favourites, starting the game with a string of early decent attacks, mainly orchestrated by their striker of Ghanaian descent Memphis Depay. But Thomas Hall scored the opener for the Czech Republic, a team ranked 40th in the world, 24 places behind the Dutch. Patrick Schick doubled the Czechs' lead in the 80th minute against the 10-man Dutch team, after Matthias De Ligt was red-carded for handball. The Lokomotiv will next travel to Azerbaijan to take on Denmark, who they beat 3-0 in the quarterfinals of Euro 2004. The Danes also secured a 4-0 win over Wales thanks to a double from former Ajax striker Kasper Dolberg. Joachim Meili scored the third goal, while Martin Braithwaite added the fourth in injury time. The win came exactly 2 weeks after their playmaker Christian Eriksen suffered cardiac arrest in their opening group match and had to be resuscitated with a defibrillator. The world's highest-ranked side, Belgium, ended Portugal's reign as European champions in Seville, beating five-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo and his colleagues a 2-0, thanks to a stunning strike in the first half from Borussia Dortmund winger Thorgan Hazard. The win ensured the Red Devils continued their pursuit of a first major title by reaching the quarterfinals of Euro 2020, setting up a mouth-watering clash against Italy on Friday. Federico Chiesa and Matteo Pacini also recorded their names on the score sheet to help the Italians secure a 2-1 victory over Austria and a spot in the European Championship quarterfinals. The Azzurri have now set a national team record with its 12th straight victory and 31st straight match unbeaten. And Prince Nesta on the sunny side of sports. In keeping tabs on the transfer market, VfB Stuttgart have signed Arsenal defender Konstantinos Mavropanos on loan with the option to sign him permanently at the end of the season, in a deal estimated to be around $6.9 million. The 23-year-old Greek footballer spent the past season on loan at the German club. RB Leipzig have also completed the signing of American wonderkid Caden Clark from the New York Red Bulls. 18-year-old will remain on loan with the Red Bulls until the end of the MLS season before making his way to Germany after signing a contract that will see him stay at the Red Bull Arena until 2024. Clark hasn't been capped by the United States yet and follows in the footsteps of Tyler Adams, whose signature was secured by the German club from the Red Bulls back in 2019. Ex-Juventus shortstopper Gianluigi Buffon has also completed an emotional return to Parma on a free transfer, the club where he began his illustrious career. The 43-year-old left the Inter Turini back in 2001 for what was considered a world record fee for a goalkeeper at the time. Buffon also remains the most capped Italian national team player with 176 international caps and was also part of the Azzurri's 2006 World Cup winning side. He made his professional debut for Parma and the Italian national team at the age of 17 and won the Coppa Italia, UEFA Cup and the Italian Supercoppa in 1999, later winning 10 Serie A titles in 19 seasons with Juventus. Premier League champions Manchester City have also added Chelsea right-back Rick James to their list of transfer targets. The manager Pep Guardiola is said to be a huge admirer of the versatile 21-year-old right-back and England international and would be keen to adding him to their backline. That's according to American sports channel ESPN. However, he will also face considerable pressure for his preferred starting position at City from Kyle Walker and Joao Cancelo. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100 hurdle world record holder for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
World record holder Kendra Harrison booked her ticket to the Tokyo Games by clocking 12.47 seconds at the U.S. Olympic track and field trials in the northwest U.S. city of Eugene, Oregon. Now, Kenny set her world record of 12.20 seconds 5 years ago in London. Meanwhile, Sydney McLaughlin is going to her second Olympics after setting the women's 400 meters hurdles world record at the U.S. Olympic track and field trials. McLaughlin became the first woman to run under 52 seconds in the event, clocking 51.90 seconds on the final day of the U.S. trials. The 21-year-old McLaughlin beat reigning Olympic champion Dalila Muhammad, the previous world record holder. Muhammad finished second in 52.42 seconds, so she's going to Tokyo too. And Anna Cockrell finished third in 53.70 seconds. She also earned an Olympic berth on Team USA. The final day of the U.S. Olympic track and field trials was suspended for 5 hours on Sunday because of extreme heat in Eugene, Oregon. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's take a short break now with this programming message from our new Straight Talk Africa host, Haiti Adams.
Be sure to join me on the next Straight Talk Africa when we talk about reparations and redress as Namibia negotiates with Germany on compensation for colonial-era genocide. We ask, how much is enough to make amends for atrocities and other sins of the past? We'll look at lessons from other parts of Africa and the world and hear from Namibians about what this means for the future of their country. Reparations, remorse, and redress on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Thanks, Haiti. That's Haiti Adams, our new Straight Talk Africa host. Straight Talk Africa is broadcast on Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. At least two members of Team Uganda have tested positive for the coronavirus after arriving in Japan for the Olympics. The AP's Charles de Ledesma reports.
Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga has pledged to strengthen protocols at airports after a Ugandan Olympic team member tested positive for COVID-19, triggering concerns that the upcoming Olympic Games will spread infections. The team member, reportedly a coach, was quarantined on arrival, but the rest of the 9-person team was allowed to travel on a chartered bus to their pre-Olympics camp. 3 days later, a second Ugandan also tested positive for the virus, forcing all team members to self-isolate. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In the National Basketball Association Eastern Conference Finals, the Milwaukee Bucks beat the host Atlanta Hawks Sunday to take a 2-1 series lead. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
The Bucks have regained home court advantage by taking game 3, 113-102 over the Hawks. Chris Middleton scored 20 of his career playoff high, tying 38 points in the fourth quarter. He provided 10 points and a 13-3 run in the fourth that gave Milwaukee the lead.
I don't think about the stage at all when we're playing. I just try to, stay in the moment, stay in the possession, not worry about, the playoffs or a regular season or a must win or just a preseason game. I try to play everything out the same way.
Giannis Antetokounmpo had 33 points for the Bucks, who trailed by as many as 13 and were down 95-88 before the 13-3 spurt.
When I see heads down and that the game might be going away, I try to remind guys, one stop at a time, one position at a time, in that way, we can put ourselves in a position, like, that doesn't mean we're going to win the game. But the mindset changed.
Trae Young scored 35 points for Atlanta, but was slowed down in the final period. He injured his right ankle after stepping on an official's foot late in the third.
This is my blow-by speed. That's a big part of my game is my ability just to blow by anybody. And when you're on the left side and you're trying to blow by, you got to use your right foot. And my left-hand pass to Bogey, I was going down the left side It was in a lot of pain.
I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Meanwhile, the Phoenix Suns are one win away from their first NBA Finals appearance since 1993. The Suns lead the Los Angeles Clippers 3-1, and they'll try to advance later Monday night when they host Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals in Phoenix, Arizona. In more NBA news, the Boston Celtics announced Monday they have hired Ime Udoka, a former player for Nigeria's national men's basketball team, as their new head coach. The 43-year-old Udoka previously worked as an assistant coach with the Brooklyn Nets, the Philadelphia 76ers, and the San Antonio Spurs. He played 7 seasons in the NBA before retiring in 2012.
My name is Elizabeth Okumu, assistant captain and player, University of Nairobi Dynamite basketball team, and currently a player of Lioness, the Kenya national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Turning to tennis, first round action began Monday at Wimbledon in London. This year's competition will feature two of the oldest players who are both weeks shy of celebrating milestone birthdays. VOA's Gwen Uten has details. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. American Serena Williams has entered the Wimbledon tournament just 3 months shy of her 40th birthday. And as she prepares to play for an 8th Wimbledon title, on Sunday, Williams told reporters she is not preparing for the upcoming Olympic Games.
Yeah, I'm actually not on the Olympic list, so
Not that I'm aware of. And if so, then I shouldn't be on it.
The Tokyo Games are set to begin on July 23rd amid persistent concerns that the world's largest sporting event could trigger a new wave of coronavirus infections. Olympic organizers have developed a stringent list of health protocols to keep athletes and the general public safe during the games. Williams did not specify the reasons behind her decision not to compete in Tokyo, but travel restrictions that would separate her from her three-year-old daughter could be a factor. Williams won Olympic gold in singles tennis at the 2012 London Games and has won gold three times in doubles with sister Venus. And although Serena says she hasn't given any thought to this year's Tokyo Games, she has thought about the recent difficulties in getting past opponents in the women's draw.
I think the women's draw is so deep, regardless to who you play. You really have to show up now. It's not, there's no longer matches that are going to be a sure walkthrough. You just have to really have your head in and have your game on. So I think it's definitely made me better, to be honest. I've had a big X on my back since 99, since I won the U.S. Open. And so when players play me that hard, every single tournament, every single match, every single Grand Slam, just doesn't matter where, you just get better.
Williams is seeded number 6 in the world and is seeking to equal the long-standing record of 24 Grand Slams. She will play her opening match against Alexandra Sasnovich of Belarus on Tuesday. On the men's side, Roger Federer of Switzerland is also closing in on his 40th birthday ahead of Wimbledon. Federer played his last match at the tournament in 2019 when he lost in the final to world number 1 Novak Djokovic. And despite suffering a defeat at a warm-up event last week, Federer told reporters he feels mentally strong ahead of his return to Wimbledon.
I think I got to take the positives out of these last few weeks that I'm actually here at Wimbledon right now. And I have a chance, and I know if I get rolling and I get into the second week, which is the goal here right now, is that I get stronger and stronger as every match goes by. And I believe it's very much possible.
Federer has played in only a handful of tournaments over the past 18 months since he underwent 2 knee surgeries in early 2020. But he admits returning to the court will be easier than living inside a tennis bubble throughout the tournament.
Living the bubble life is different, you know. Took me some getting used to the first day or two, understanding where we're allowed to go, what we're allowed to do. Same thing with the on-site protocols, you know, how does it work? By now I've gotten used to it, and I'm embracing it. I'm okay with it, but look, I still feel a big privilege that I'm actually able to play Wimbledon. You know, if I look back at everything that I went through for the last year and a bit more with the injury and also with the pandemic, it's great that Wimbledon's back on. I'm happy I'm here. And so I'm not going to be complaining. And Wimbledon tries to put on the best bubble possible. So it's all good.
Like Serena Williams, Federer is also number 6 in the world. And he shares a record with Spaniard Rafael Nadal as a 20-time Grand Slam champion. Federer also boasts a record 8 Wimbledon titles. He will begin his campaign for a 9th title when he plays his first round match against Frenchman Adrian Manarino on Tuesday. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. And just to give our VOA tennis fans some perspective on how long Roger Federer and Serena Williams have been at the top of their sport, Serena played her first Wimbledon match at the age of 16 in 1998, and a 17-year-old Federer made his Wimbledon debut in 1999. In the coming days, they'll probably face players who weren't even born when they first stepped onto Wimbledon's grass courts. And that wraps up the June 28th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.